of course, we'll be at the table after church for a little while if you'd like to, you think of anything else. If you would open up your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. And I'm a Southerner. I know that doesn't matter up here, you know. You're from Texas, right? So, but that was a long time ago, right? But I am a Southerner, and you know, the sin of the South is laziness. And Dr. Ruckman preaches a sermon on that, the sin of the South. And I've wanted to preach that because our province, the East Sepik province in Papua New Guinea, is kind of, it parallels the South in the sense it's actually on the north of the island, but we're close to the equator. It's hot there, and people move slower. You get up into the highlands, up in higher elevation. Oh, like where we live, we're only about 200 feet elevation, but you get up into 3,000 feet to 5,000 feet up where the wells are, and the people are different. They're more hardy and they're more industrious. And it's kind of, I don't know, maybe difficult or doesn't make a lot of sense for a Southerner to come up to the Midwest and preach to the Norwegians and the Scandinavians and whoever else is included in here about planning, because that's not typically a Southern thing. But the Lord has laid something on my heart, kind of shown me some things here through the life of Moses about planning. And I don't want you to immediately, you know, shut me down because I said the word planning. And don't confuse this with kind of modern fundamentalism or secular psychobabble. The Bible does talk about planning. It might not use the word planning, but God talks about purpose. We have an example of Daniel over in Daniel chapter 1:8, and he purposed not to be defiled with the king's portion. And we have God's example early on in the book of Genesis in the creation of the world. God made plans at that time, natural, what man is still trying to figure out and devise after centuries of study and the world's sharpest minds trying to, you know, study science, study chemistry, study botany, study biology, all these different things, zoology. Men are just trying to study and figure out something that God planned and set in motion thousands of years ago. And, you know, of course, modern scientists, they don't even come close because they're walking backwards and looking, have their eyes closed. But man's just trying to figure out God's plans that he set in motion a long time ago. So the Bible does tell us about plans, and you know, a lot is revealed about man in the Bible. That's one reason most men won't read the Bible, is because what is revealed about man in the Bible is not really good. And I got a biblical nugget given to me recently by Dr. Ruckman, actually. And he said, and I don't know, maybe he's said this before, but he said to me, to us recently, we had the privilege to sit down with him before we left Pensacola a few weeks ago. And he said, and you know, this was kind of shocking, but he said, I have finally figured out why God gave us the Bible. And I thought, okay, you've just figured this out. And he said, you know, you start, and it starts with murder, and it ends in war. And he said the purpose that, and this is his thing, so, you know, God forgive me for stealing this. But he said the purpose of the Bible was to just show us that man cannot make it on his own. And you know, we have verses, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Man can't do it on his own. We cannot do it on our own. And obviously the Word of God gives us more than just that, but it does declare plainly that man at his best state is altogether vanity. And man's best laid plans without God are altogether vanity. And so we have some kind of... the Bible tells us and teaches us some things about planning. I'd like you to look at Exodus chapter 3, and we can see some things in the life of Moses. Actually, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 2, And I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just come before you and thank you for the time. Thank you for these folks here at this church. And Lord, I know there's a lot of faithful people, Christian lives that are represented here, people that have a desire to serve you, have a desire to know you. Lord, there's a lot of work that's been done here over the years. And Lord, I just come in. I get this one opportunity to stand up. And I pray that, Lord, you'd take the Word of God as I open it and bless it and break it. And Lord, feed these folks. And Lord, just add to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit here tonight. And God, I pray that you'd, Lord, bless and use this message. And Lord, you know each and every person, the minds, the hearts. God, I pray that you'd open ears and you'd open hearts to receive your word, and that you, as only you can do, would take it and apply it supernaturally, Lord, exactly as it needs to be applied. Lord, accomplish your perfect work with it. And Lord, I pray and ask this and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon it. In his name, amen. Amen. Well, in Exodus chapter 2, we take a look into the life of Moses. And Moses, we see, went through a process of planning. And Moses went through a process of planning. And Moses' process of planning is really a good picture of the way that most men plan. And Moses' process of planning, I believe it starts down here in verse 11. All right, and I won't go back and lay the background of this with Moses' history and how he grew up and how God preserved his life. And he was raised by Pharaoh and all that, or by Pharaoh's daughter. So you know the background and the history there. But then coming into verse 11, we see something start to come to pass in the life of Moses. And it reveals to me the process of planning that Moses had in his life. And it says in verse 11 in the Bible, in Exodus 2:11, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Now, what do you see there by way of planning? Nothing. There's nothing there by way of planning. And that really is the way that most men plan their lives. There is no planning. Our planning is a lack of planning. And again, this may not go over well up here in the, you know, where you guys planned your town. I, again, grew up in the South, and our roads are, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to them. And I come up in places like this, and everything's laid out in squares, and, you know, there's a mile between this point and that point. But man, mostly, by and large, does not plan very well. Moses didn't plan. I just want to point out a couple of things about the way that Moses made his plans, or the lack thereof that he had in his life. And number one is that Moses made his plans hastily. Moses made his plans hastily. It says there in verse 11, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren." Right there in that moment, Moses made his plan. And he made that plan hastily. You can go back in the Bible, look over in the book of James, if you would. James chapter 1. You can spend time reading the book of Proverbs. You can find verses that teach and declare plainly that anything that's done in haste is usually not going to come out. The results are not going to come out right. And over in the book of James chapter 1, God oftentimes he'll tell us in the Bible, and he'll give things to us in the Bible that he knows we naturally struggle with. James chapter 1 and verse 3, we see that the Lord said here, "My brethren," in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And so God implores you, and James implores you, to let patience have her perfect work. Over in the book of Romans chapter 5, we get another admonition in this area. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so the Lord tells us through His Word that He's going to give us tribulation, that tribulation can work patience. Men, young men particularly, are not usually very patient. And so Moses comes out a young man at that time, and really he was 40 years old, but he lived to be 120, so he was in type or in parallel, a pretty young man in the first third of his life. When he comes out and he sees that Egyptian smiting his brethren, and he hastily devises this plan to do something about this problem. And the sin of a young man is impulse and impatience. And as a Christian, and again, standing up in a church, not being a pastor, in a different church, preaching in a different church all the time, I don't know the different people in here. I don't know maybe who's newly saved and just starting to grow as a Christian. And maybe there's some people that have been in here and been under the ministry and the effect of the Word of God in their lives for 20 years, and you're grown to maturity. I, as a missionary, I want to say, everyone get up and go, and let's reach the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, when I started out on deputation, I thought, I'm going into every church, and there's people sitting in the church, and they need to be out, and, they need to be on the mission field. Well, that's obviously not wise, and that's not exactly how God wants things done. But I can't look out here and know that, this person is mature as a Christian, and this person's just a baby Christian. But to each and every one of us, I can say that you need to have patience and let the Lord work on you and let the Lord do some things in your life, put you through tribulations and put you through trials and put you through struggles to teach you and to grow you and put you through this process of growth like we see here in Romans chapter 5. One thing that is very clear about the Lord, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth, His handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. And you know what you can see if you look around in nature? You can see that our God is a God of processes. God's a God of order. He's a God of process. And He has a process that He puts things through, just like any tree that's going to bear fruit. God's going to put that tree through a process to bring that tree to the point where it's going to bear fruit. And if at any time during that process something is interrupted, sunlight is withheld or water is withheld, or that tree is uprooted and planted somewhere else where it doesn't belong, that's going to affect the fruit bearing of that tree. We have in Papua New Guinea, Brother Johnson planted some what they call muli trees. And a muli tree is any kind of citrus fruit. But these particularly are grapefruit trees. And Brother Johnson planted 7 different trees. He gave one tree to Pastor Willie, and then he had 5 or 6. And he planted those on the mission station. Well, as the station grew and things happened, Brother Johnson's trees had to be uprooted, and they had to be moved, and then they had to be replanted. Well, Willie's tree, Willie took this little muli seed and he planted it, and Willie's a good husbandman. He planted this seed in one spot. Now, he didn't study and determine, where he needed to plant it. He just planted it in one spot. But that tree stayed in that one spot, and it has been there for years. And Willie's muli tree was planted at the same time as Brother Johnson's muli trees. And Willie's muli tree, when that thing bears fruit, he can get close to about 30, and this is just with minimal effort, he can get 30 good grapefruit off of that tree a week when that thing is bearing. We were taking grapefruits for him and taking them to a missionary store in town and selling them and giving him the money. I mean, he'd bring me a bag, these Belem. He'd bring me a Belem full. He'd say, here, take these. And every week, there'd be 20 to 30 mulies off of this one tree. The same trees planted at this, or the same kind of tree planted at the same time by Brother Johnson, nothing. two of these trees, and they're the two that had been moved two or three different times. Two of these trees, I mean, they barely forked. And they're there, but they're barely alive. And then one tree, after years and years and years, and this is, Brother Johnson had been there for years, he'd planted these trees years ago, one of his trees actually began to bear fruit. And it began to bear fruit after I built my house where I put my generator. And I built this cement house for my generator. Well, to do that, I had to cut down almost half of this mullein tree. I mean, just cut it back to the nubs. And I thought, you know, hope he doesn't get mad. I just cut his mullein tree down. 2 or 3 months later, that tree began to bear fruit. And that's the only one of his mullein trees that bear fruit. There's a process. And the Lord wants to put you through a process. And, you know, oftentimes Christians, they get... some Christians come into a church and they sit for a couple of months and then they uproot and they go to another church, or they uproot and they go here, or just in life they're kind of uprooted and they never get settled and grounded in the Word of God. They never submit and surrender and yield themselves to the Lord's process and working in their life. And when it comes to planning their life, they make their plans hastily and they'll never grow. You as a Christian, you'll never grow. And you'll never accomplish anything for God if you continue and always just make your plans hastily. Let patience have her perfect work in your life. Now again, about Moses there, back in Exodus chapter 2, another thing we see, he made those plans hastily and he made his plans alone. He made those plans alone. Moses didn't consult anybody. And again, for sake of time, we won't go through it all, but over in the book of Proverbs, you are admonished over and over again, time and time again, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And you have, first and foremost, you have the Holy Spirit as a Christian. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have the living Spirit of God in you as a Christian. And you have fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that counsel that you can seek in prayer and seeking God's will. But you also have the light of the Word of God. You have the counsel of the Holy Word of God that you can come to and seek. And we have an authority. And as a King James Bible believer, you believe more than anybody else in the authority that you hold in your hands. And when a lot of people and a lot of pastors and a lot of churches get up and they preach and they take the emphasis off of the authority of the Word of God, it stunts the spiritual growth of the church and it stunts the spiritual growth of the believer. And you know what? People wind up making their plans either alone, or they seek the wrong counsel. They're looking for the counsel of a man when you need to seek the counsel of God, and you need to get alone and get in His Word and figure out what He wants to say to you. And you have counsel that you can seek and you can come to, and you need to seek that counsel in the process of planning in your life. So what we see there is that Moses' process of planning was a poor process. And there's a saying commonly used that says a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And Moses failed miserably right here in Exodus chapter 2. He failed. What he did is he did things his way. He did things in the wrong time, in the wrong manner, and he had the wrong results. And that's what happens when we do what we do best, and that is when we plan. And by planning, I mean we plan according to the way man always plans, and that's a lack of it, or the wrong kind of planning. There's a process of planning, and Moses failed in that process. But you can have proper planning in your life, biblical planning, godly planning. Seek God in your life. Seek God's will. A lot of people make plans for their life, and they don't include God in the process. They just say, and that's... by my testimony, something that I did is I just thought, you know, well, I want to serve God, but, you know, I want financial stability and I want all the toys and I want all the benefits and I'm going to, you know, God, I'll do this and I'll give you this. And that's not what the Lord wants out of us. He wants all of us. He wants you completely yielded and surrendered to Him. Now look again at Moses in Exodus chapter 2, of course, his process of planning was a failure and his outcome was a failure, but we have a good God. We serve a good God. We serve a God that cares. And something I had to learn to when I started trying to live my life for God, I had to learn that God actually wants me to do right. I don't know if you knew that. You know, I don't know, maybe we get a faulty understanding, a faulty view, a sinful view by the way that we see maybe earthly fathers act. I had a good earthly father, but he wasn't perfect by far. None of us are. And so maybe I looked at my dad and I kind of looked at God through the view that I had of my dad, and I had some misunderstanding of the way that God is. But I have a dad that wanted me to do right. But what I'm saying is I had to realize that God's not just sitting up there with a bar of iron waiting to thump me anytime I mess up. God wants you to do right. And we have a faithful God. He's going to seek you out. He's going to give you opportunity to serve Him. And what He does here in the life of Moses, He comes in Exodus chapter 3. And first there's a process of planning, but there's also an instance of interruption. God comes to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. And again, you know the story. Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father after he messed up and he failed and he ran away. And he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert tending the sheep. And just away from God and out of fellowship with God, which is what happens to a lot of Christians when they fail to plan to serve God. And Moses winds up in the backside of the desert, but the Lord comes and seeks him out. And let me say this, God knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get your attention. Now, you say that and people think, oh yeah, man, he's gonna put you in a horrible car accident. He's gonna take your legs and he's gonna cripple you. And you know, he will do that if he has to do that, but do you think he really wants to do that? Is that really how God wants to have to get your attention? Wouldn't it be better if you were just had a soft heart and you had a tender heart toward God and God could just come to you one morning as you're reading His Word and He could just come to you one morning and kind of illuminate a verse of Scripture? Ever had that happen? A verse of Scripture is just illuminated on the page and that thing opens up and you say, oh, okay, okay, Lord. I get it. I understand. Yes, Lord, I surrender. Yes, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for what I've been doing. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me so clearly and plainly and softly and tenderly. You know, God can come and speak to you in a soft and tender way. Don't make it so that God has to come and put you through a horrible car accident. That does happen to good people as well. But you don't have to make it so God has to really thump you to get your attention. Just seek God. Seek God in everything that you do, and He'll get your attention. He knows how to get your attention. But what I'm saying is make it so it's not hard for Him to get your attention. And He comes to Moses, and He appears as a burning bush. Now, I don't know what else He could have appeared as to Moses as Moses is walking through the wilderness. I'm sure he's seen a lot of crazy things out there in the wilderness, and being alone all the time with a bunch of sheep, he probably imagined even more crazy things. But all of a sudden he's walking along and over on the side is this bush that's on fire, literal fire. We don't have to, you know, make this a figurative thing. This bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I think that would get my attention. If I'm driving along down the road and I look and all my illustrations are going to have driving in them because that's what I do most. I'm driving along, I look over, and there's a burning bush. But wait a minute, you know, that thing's not being burned up. I'm going to stop and look. And you know what we have right here? We have a burning bush. And the Bible is a book that man has tried for centuries to burn up. Critics have lit its pages on fire. They've cut it out. They've tore it out. They've tried to shred it. They've tried to get rid of it. The Catholic Church has attacked and killed men that believed it and preached it. And for centuries now, this is a bush that's been on fire. This thing is on fire. It's purified by fire. And it's purified seven times. And you know what? God has given each and every one of us a burning bush. And you know what Moses had to do for God to be able to interrupt and accomplish something in Moses' life? Look what it says there in verse 3, it says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And you know why sometimes God has to go to drastic measures to get our attention? It's because we just simply won't take the time to turn aside and see this great sight. And Christians won't spend time reading the Word of God. They won't spend time in fellowship Maybe you won't spend time in fellowship seeking God, seeking His will for your life, seeking His plans and direction for your life out of this book. And so, yeah, God has to do something drastic to redirect you and to get His plans established for your life. But look, won't you just turn aside to see? Won't you just let God interrupt your plans and interject His plans? Moses turned aside to see, and what did the Lord say in verse 4? It said, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God waited. God waited to see if Moses was going to take that step and turn aside to see that bush. God didn't force Moses to turn aside. Moses made that decision. And you need to make a decision in your life tonight. You need to make a decision that you're going to turn aside to see God. You're going to seek God's will. You're going to seek God's plans. You're going to seek God's direction in your life. And then lastly, the result of the redirection. God comes to Moses. He interrupts Moses' plans, which, again, there weren't any. All right? And so when he failed to plan, he planned to fail. He did fail. He's just wandering around the desert. God comes and gets a hold of him. And then look at the result of the redirection. Look down at verse 12. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and find out that I had just wasted every opportunity and every, you know, I've had a lot of opportunity to serve God, and I look around and I see some people don't have the amount of opportunities that I've had. Some people don't have the background that I've had. I got saved young. I grew up in a Bible believing church. To whom much is given, much is required. I fear more than anything that I'll, you know, bungle along and stumble through life, and to man and even to brethren, it might look that, man, that, you know, Brother Anderson's a good guy and, you know, he's doing something for God. But doing something for God in my own strength and in my own power and in my own ability is not much. Me, myself, and I, it's not much. I'm an unprofitable servant at the very most in my own strength and in my own power. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, oh, you know, I look back at all that I did and there was an element of self in everything that I did, because it was all about me. It was all about what I wanted. It was all, I mean, even though what I want is good, what Moses wanted was good. Moses wanted, he wanted to deliver his brethren. He wanted to get involved and do something to help, but he didn't have God involved in what he was doing. And you know what I want more than anything? Look there at verse 12, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And I hope that you'll want this more than anything. And if we as Christians would get a hold of this and want this more than anything, maybe God could get something done. And it says in verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. What did God say to Moses? He said, certainly, I will be with thee. You know what I want more than anything? I want God with me. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm here, if I'm in Papua New Guinea. If I'm in Papua New Guinea without God with me, and I know that, you know, doctrinally and salvation, that the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me, but I want God involved in what I'm doing. I want to be involved in what He's doing. I want Him in full control of what we're doing in Papua New Guinea, and I hope that you want the same in your life. You need God in your life, and you need God to have control of your life. In closing, look over at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, something happened right there in that instance of interruption when God redirected Moses. Something happened that affected the outcome of Moses' life. Now, Moses was a great man. By Hebrews 11, we know that he was a great man of faith. And the Bible tells us, just starting in verse 24, this thing, that thing, the other thing, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Moses lived a great life of faith. But if you notice, it was all about him. Verse 24, well, it was about his parents. Verse 25, that he chose. Verse 26, he esteemed. Verse 27, he forsook. Verse 27, again, he endured. Verse 28, he kept. It's all him. It's all about him. But after Exodus chapter 3, when God interrupted Moses' plans and Moses got involved in God's plans for his life, look what happened in verse 29, Hebrews 11:29. When you'll let God interrupt your plans and redirect your life, look what verse 29 says. All before this, it's been by faith He, by faith He, by faith He. And then verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. All of these events in verse 24 to 28 took place prior to Exodus chapter 3. And Moses lived a great life of faith, but it only affected him. But when he let God get control of him and he did things God's way and he did things in God's timing and he sought God's will, it affected others. And it affected the entire nation of Israel. Now, would God have used Moses anyways? Did God have someone else that He could have used instead of Moses? You know, I don't know. We don't have all those details in the Bible, but we do have this, that when God got a hold of Moses, then His faith wasn't just about him. His faith affected other people. And that's what we need as Christians. We need a life of faith that is not just about us. It's not just about me taking care of my family. It's not just about us building nice churches and doing good things. It's not just about us. First of all, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory. And lastly, secondly, it's about reaching others for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time. Thank You for, the Word of God. And Lord, I'm just a frail messenger, Lord, for me to stand and open my mouth and try to, Lord, put forth the message of the Word of God. Lord, apart from Your calling and Your Spirit, Lord, and if You don't take it and accomplish something with it, Lord, then it's nothing. But God, I pray that You'd bless it and use it. You'd apply it. You'd help these brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to just help us all to surrender and yield more fully to You, that You might accomplish something in us and through us. I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let's just remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a couple of minutes. Anna's going to play a couple of stanzas here. If the Lord dealt with you tonight about something, I want to give you an opportunity to come. Really good insight with regard to the planning and how God interrupts our plans sometimes. Just for a couple minutes. Let's look this way. Appreciate Brother Anderson's slides and testimony and preaching. I know we're a little short-handed here tonight with folks sick and out of town and such. You heard Brother Anderson tell you about what their needs are as far as trying to get back to New Guinea with airplane tickets, and we know he has a busted trailer down south of here. So I ask you, those of you that are here, you know, try to be generous. You've never, shortchanged a missionary on generosity. I realize we're short here tonight of some warm bodies that are normally here. But we're still going to take an offering. Brother Chris, why don't you guys come ahead and please give what you can. We've supported Brother Johnson for quite a number of years, as well as Brother Thrun in New Guinea. And they've all done great jobs. You heard from a man tonight, his wife and family, that are over helping other Brother Johnson, but also independently on their own or missionaries. And, you know, we'd love to be able to help them more than we can at the moment, but sure want to give them all that is coming to them here tonight. So let's have a word of prayer, and anything that comes in tonight goes to Brother Anderson. Father, we appreciate what we've heard, and Lord, we are touched by the needs and the fruit that we've seen and the vision. We pray here tonight that you'd help us to be able to help. Like I said, we've got folks that are quite under duress right now with various things going on, sickness, out of town, sick, and even dying kinfolk. We pray, Father, we might be able to be a blessing to these folks here tonight, and we ask that you'll bless what we do give in Jesus' name. Amen. There and visit with the Andersons for a little while. Me and my family, we're going to try to take them out and get them some ice cream or something here for the kids here in a little while. So we'll be trying to peel out in relatively quick order. So make sure and talk to them. And look, folks, don't forget, I saw that Teresa left early. Like I said, Mr. Grissom is got pancreatic cancer now. And so pray for them. I think they're leaving in the morning to go out to San Diego. So please remember those folks as they've finally got a lot on their minds. Other than that, a lot to pray for, a lot of things going on, folks still sick. Lori's home doing better, at least Debbie's home. Keep praying for all those situations that are going on there. Chris, real quick.
Is there somebody here that can give me a ride around the afterwards?
See, Chris, if you can, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the Andersons. We appreciate the fellowship that we look forward to having, as well as that we've already had. I pray you to help them on the way as they head up to Bismarck and then back down to Brother Schaefer's. Lord, they've got a trailer issue to deal with. I pray that you would square that away for them. They have needs for plane tickets and probably feel the need to get back and are beginning to get a little bit nervous and fidgety about getting back to New Guinea. I know Brother Thrun's kids always talked about going home. They'd come here, and to most of us, New Guinea would not be home, but to those kids, they were. It was, and I'm sure for these folks where they've labored, it is as well. So we pray you'd bless them. Lord, help what little we can do to be more than sufficient for our part. We pray you'll help us to pray for them. Give us a burden for them, Lord. There's lots of activity going on right now, and we pray that you'd help us not think of ourselves but of others. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Good night, everybody.